Prayer is a wonderful privilege for the people of God, for the Christian. It's a wonderful privilege because it allows us access to God, access to the heavenlies. And prayer moves heaven. Prayer moves the hand of God. And I think it was John Wesley that said that God does nothing except through prayer. And so I do know that prayer is a precious and a valuable privilege that we all have. Interesting thing, though, is that you don't have to be at an altar necessarily, although I love to pray at the altar. You don't have to be in any particular position necessarily. The most important thing is the position of your heart. Amen. And you might be driving down the road. You might be vacuuming your house. You might be busy doing other activities at work or whatever. And there's no limitation. That wherever you are and whenever you feel the need to contact God and enter into the presence of God, you can call upon the name of the Lord. And you have access to the Lord. Colossians 4 and 2 through verse 6, if you look with me here. If you read through, most of the New Testament, of course, is written by the Apostle Paul as he was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write almost the biggest majority of the New Testament, 13 books of the Bible of the New Testament. And if not all, almost all of them, he talks at the beginning, either at the beginning, at the introduction of the book, or at the closing, and sometimes in both. And he makes mention of prayer and says, "We have been praying for you. We have been praying for you." And but this is this is the Apostle Paul. In verse 2 here, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." This is an unselfish prayer. Much of our praying, sad to say, has to do about our lives, our problems, our needs. Nothing wrong with that. But I think you step up a whole different level in prayer whenever you are not only praying about personal things, personal problems, personal needs. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I do believe we all should pray about these various things. But you notice that the Apostle Paul here, this, first of all, the first thing to take note of is that this is in the book of Colossians. And four books in the New Testament were prison letters written while the Apostle Paul was in prison. This is one of them. He's in a Roman prison, actually under house arrest. And he said of that experience that God arranged it. God arranged it that he would be in that prison cell. He said, "The things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." He said, God arranged it. God put me here. And then he goes on and talks about that the gospel is heard in kings' palaces and all about, and all the people that are impacted by the gospel. And he said, it was because God allowed me, and he positioned me here in this place. It was out of this prison experience that four of the letters of the New Testament were written, this being one of them. And now he is saying to them, giving giving in this letter some instructions concerning prayer. And he, in verse 2 there, he says, continue in prayer. And really, he's just saying, develop the habit of continuous prayer. Develop the habit of, in another place, he said it like this, that we are to pray always, that we are to pray without ceasing, that we are to be a people of prayer and in always in a spirit of prayer and always realizing that by calling upon the Lord, as I said, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're driving down the road or if you're at work and you can take just a minute or two from the busyness of what you're involved in, and you can take a moment and you can call on the Lord. And the most wonderful thing is that you have access to heaven at that very moment when you call upon the name of the Lord. He said, don't, and I really believe that when he says, continue in prayer, when he says there, and watch to the same, or just always be alert, be watchful, always be alert with thanksgiving, always be ready, always be alert, and recognize that whenever a need, a problem, or some circumstance arises that, and you think, what could I ever do to help those people? Or what could I ever do for those? Because every day of your life, you probably hear people talking about their needs and talking about their worries and their problems. And you may not be able to answer it and meet the need, but you can take that brief moment and always be alert to the fact that if I'm going to really make an impact on this situation, I need to call their name in prayer. I need to call on the name of the Lord. It's the most wonderful gift that you can offer, and it's such a high privilege to be able to pray. Jesus instructed us about prayer, telling us that really our prayer needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. We don't need to pray like the Pharisees would pray, because they would make their prayers long. They would make their prayers, many words, and they would go through a form. They wanted to be seen. They wanted their prayers to be public. They wanted their prayers, and so it came more or less out of a duty and out of an opportunity for them to get glory to themselves. And Jesus said, don't pray like the Pharisees pray. Don't pray like they pray. Your prayer instead is to be heartfelt. It's to be real. It's to recognize that you can talk to him at any time. And you can call upon the Lord because he's your dear friend. He loves you more than anyone. And you can call upon him at any time. As a matter of fact, as the church, we need to be known. Our reputation should be, those folks know how to touch God. They know how to pray. My house shall be called. Our reputation should be that we're known as a people that know how to pray. Amen. We know how to call upon the Lord. I mentioned Sunday that usually it's in a crisis that you are driven to your knees. And you get some serious prayer done whenever you're really, really up against a big problem. But when things are going along smooth and easy and no big problems, then we kind of don't have feel the real need to call upon the Lord. And so we become neglectful, and I'm just convinced that God then allows us to enter into some crisis situation because he wants to hear your voice again. He wants to hear from you. And if he can't hear from you unless you're in a big problem, then he'll just make sure you're in one from time to time. Amen. You know the story of Jonah. When God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said no. He rejected the call of God. The Bible says he ran from God. He went away from the voice of the Spirit of God. And he was going as hard and fast as he could against God's will. That's chapter 1. And you know the story, that by the end of that chapter, he has gone down to Tarshish. He has gone down into the belly of that boat. He has gone down into the sea. He has gone down into the belly of the fish. And the fish went down into the lowest of the depths of the earth. That's how low that Jonah had to get. Because chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of Jonah says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. He had to get really low before he finally, and that's just a few verses, maybe 9 or 10 verses there in chapter 2. Let me tell you, it's a powerful prayer. I believe when you get in trouble and when you get in a crisis, you don't need anybody to tell you what to say in prayer. You don't need anyone to give you the words to say. Something about a crisis will motivate you to call upon the Lord. Apostle Paul said, always stay in that spirit and then always continue in prayer. Always be alert to the opportunities to pray. But then notice his prayer request in verse 3. He said, with all praying also for us. That's not the only place. When you look through the writings of the Apostle Paul, there's a number of places where he says, pray for me. And other places where he says, pray for us. And he's talking about himself and those that are his companions in ministry. Pray for us. Nothing wrong. I would say that one of the most requested things that I have from people, from, you know, week to week, is people will tell me their needs and their problems and say, would you pray? And that's an honor. That's a privilege whenever they ask. And there's nothing wrong with that. I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to go to your brothers and your sisters and don't bear your burden on your own, but call upon the Lord and get other people. Ask them, would you pray with us? Would you pray for me in my need? Amen. Praise God. I told my mom I was going to Nicaragua. I dreaded it because she worried last year, actually a year ago today is when I flew to Africa, and I was sick and struggling, and my mom walked the floor and prayed for 2 weeks while I was in Africa. And when I called her, when I had landed, and she just said, oh, praise God that you're back in the United States. Don't you ever go back to Africa again. And I said, Mom, I won't unless the Lord says I need to go. I won't do that. But I dreaded telling her I was going to Nicaragua, so I told her. I said, it's just such an easy little flight. Knoxville to Houston, Houston to Managua. I'll be down there in just a few hours. No big deal. And the weather is warm down there, and it's just perfect. And don't worry. Okay. But it's okay to say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm in need. Pray for me. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing there. He says, pray for us. But notice, this is a prayer out of a prison situation. And he doesn't pray. He doesn't say, pray for us that we can get out of this jail. Pray for me that I can get out of this circumstance that I'm in. It's as if he's not even considering that as a real need. He recognized that God had put him where he was at for a reason. But instead, this is his prayer request. Pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Doesn't sound like an opportunity to preach the gospel or to be a witness, but the Apostle Paul knew that wherever you are or whatever circumstance that you are in, it is an opportunity. Amen. It is a mission field. You might be up against something that you consider you're confined by that situation. You can't control it. Not necessarily a prison, but it's just something that is out of your power and control, and you're wondering, how long will this last? How long will I have to deal with this same problem, this same situation for on and on and on and on? The Apostle Paul didn't even think about that. He was saying, Lord, in this prison, in this circumstance, and all of us, I think, would do well to look at the wisdom of the Apostle Paul and say, Lord, in the midst of this situation I'm in, would you open the door? Would you give me a door of utterance? That's what he says. That's his request. That's his that's his desire, that God would give to him a door of utterance. So it was not a selfish prayer request at all. He did not ask to get that the prison doors were opened. He asked that a door of utterance would open up. Have you asked that kind of a question? Have you prayed that kind of a prayer? Lord, I don't like what I'm having to deal with right now. I don't like this situation. It frustrates me. It irritates me. But have you asked the Lord, instead of saying, Lord, would you deliver me from this situation? Why not pray, Lord, would you open up a door of utterance in this situation? Would you help me, Lord? Would you give me an opportunity? And realize that opportunities are all around you. Amen? Do you know that if the Lord walked into a room full of people, he would gravitate toward the people that are poor, needy? He would be drawn to those that, the needy, the ones in need. That's the ones that Jesus would be drawn to. Amen. And we, I think, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayer needs to be, Lord, give me a door of utterance and help me to be able to see it for what it is. Help me to see that door of utterance, that you care about the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, and you care about people in their need. And so, Lord, open a door of utterance in my present situation. Many times have you had that you've sat in a waiting room and you had an opportunity just to witness to someone or to pray with someone? How many times have you had, a circumstance that was unpleasant, but yet through it, the Lord opened doors for you? We think of, reaching the lost, and it's amazing to me that the Apostle Paul, here he is in this predicament of prison, and eventually his life is going to be taken. And instead of saying, Lord, deliver me from this and open the door so I can get out of this prison, instead he's saying, while I'm here in the midst of this, would you open a door of utterance? And that is exactly what happened in that prison situation, that the gospel was heard in the king's palace, and centurions heard the gospel that were chained to him, and the opportunities, and all throughout the palace and all throughout that region, the gospel was heard because he said, pray for me, pray that God would give me a door of utterance, an opportunity to spread the gospel. This is an unselfish prayer. This is what I'm talking about. This steps up a whole another level of praying, because when we get down to prayer, we call upon the Lord. Most of the time, we're praying about our family, our needs, our concerns, and we're consumed with our circle of needs. But Paul saw beyond that, and he saw others that were outside of his normal circle. And he prayed, God, give to me a door of utterance. Give to me an opportunity, a door that's open so that I can spread the gospel, preach the gospel to them. Even though that's the reason I'm here, for preaching the gospel. I was put here for preaching the gospel. But Lord, I still want you to open more doors for me in this adverse situation. I want to be able to speak the mystery of Christ. You see, when Paul was imprisoned, their motivation was to silence him, to stop him. Did they succeed in that? No, not at all. Not only did all the house of Nero hear the gospel, not only did many probably dozens and dozens of centurions, soldiers, and families then influenced, heard the gospel. And then four letters were written and were sent out from that prison experience. It did not silence him. It did not. You ever been discouraged? Maybe even depressed and think, Lord, look at the situation I'm in. How could I ever do anything for God in this situation that I'm in? It's like no opportunities. And the doors are all closed and I can't do anything. I'm just confined to this situation that I'm in. No, if you have a heart like Paul, then you're going to be praying, Lord, I want to go beyond what's in my circle, in my life, and I want to think about the fact that there are other people that need to know the mystery of Christ. They need to know what he has done in me. And they have tried to silence me. They've tried to cut me off. And in so doing, stop me from proclaiming the gospel. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in bonds. But he prayed that prayer, and since he said, would you pray for me and pray this prayer for me? And as a result of that prayer, God opened amazing doors for him. Praise God. Amazing doors. They did not silence him. As a matter of fact, God used the adverse situation to spread the gospel much further than he could ever have imagined, and to people that he likely would have never had the opportunity to speak to them. But God opened the door. This unselfish prayer request. Amen. Verse 4, he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What is he saying? He's saying, help me to make the message clear. Help me to make the message clear. And it's one thing, you know, to witness to people, but it's also important to be led of the Spirit, because you do not know their life or their needs. You don't know the circumstance of their life, and so you need the direction and the leadership of the Spirit of God. He can give you the words to say, and he can give you the perfect timing, and as the apostle here says, give me an open door that I can speak the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Help me to speak words that need to be spoken. Help me to be able to communicate the gospel. Oh, how important it is that we communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world. And you know, whenever you see that there are people in need, it says there in verse 5, walk in wisdom. This is all talked about your approach to reaching people. Pray about your approach. Pray about how that you could say the right words, that the Lord would give to you the words so that you can make the message clear. Amen. Communication. Oh, how important it is. But when you're communicating the gospel, is there anything more important than that? And only the Spirit of God. Only the working of the Spirit of God in your life. And he can give you words to say. Words that are in season. Words that are fitly spoken. So that they can accomplish what God sends them forth to do. So that's what he's saying. Pray for me that God will give me an open door. Pray that I can declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that my words will be manifest. That they're clear so I'll know what I ought to say, the words that I ought to speak. Help me to walk in wisdom, to walk cautiously, to walk wisely. He's talking about just the way you conduct yourself. It's one thing, you can tell someone Jesus loves you and he wants to change your life, and then they see you 10 minutes later on the job and you're throwing a little temper tantrum, and that ain't going to get very far. You're going to discredit the gospel really quick by the way you walk. So you walk wisely. You walk, always remember, you're a child of God. You belong to the Lord and you're on a mission. Everywhere you go, you're on a mission to reach as many as you can for the glory of God. Walk wisely. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Who are those that are without? Outside the body of Christ. Those that aren't in the family of God. Walk wisely when you're among those out in the world. Walk in such a way, and this is a big prayer request, but he's saying, pray for me, and then he's giving you all the things that he wants you to pray for him. Pray that the door will open, that God would give me a door of utterance, and that I could speak the mystery of Christ. Pray for me that I can speak a word that's clear and understandable to people. Pray that I walk in wisdom before them that are out in the world. You know, we live as Christians, we separate ourselves from the world, and that's an important thing to do. We don't want to live or act or talk or, and we are to be separated from the world. So sometimes we don't even know how to communicate with them that are out there in the world. We need godly wisdom to be able to know what to say, to know how to approach them, and to walk wisely before them that are without. Amen. Those out there. And don't be easily hurt or offended by people that are unsaved. Understand that sinners, that's the way sinners act. Sinners do sinful things. They live that kind of a life, and sometimes it's something that, you know, is distasteful to you, and you don't really prefer it and don't want to be around it. But the Lord can help us to walk wisely before those that are without. So somehow we can show the love of God to them that are out there in the world. All of this is a prayer request by the Apostle Paul in prison, and it all has to do with reaching people. He's all consumed with the souls of men. Walk wisely. Then it says, redeeming the time. The word is a word really that just means to take opportunity or buy up opportunity or seize the deal. You know, like people that see a good deal and they go buy up a whole truckload of laundry detergent because they get a good deal. Some people love deals so much that they'll buy up a bunch. They seize the deal. They seize the opportunity. They grab hold of it. Look at it. It's on sale. It'll never be that cheap again. Let's get a lot of it so we'll save money. That's really what this phrase is talking about. Take advantage of opportunity. Seize the deal. Understand that it's divinely set up by God, and God gives to you opportunities. And since he does, take them and reach as many people as you can for the glory of God. Redeem the time. Buy up the opportunities. And reach them when they're reachable. Amen. We have an opportunity to reach those that are lost. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace. Your words. This is still a part of the prayer request. Lord, help me that our words will be like a gift. That's really what he's saying. That our words will be like we are. It's a gift to people. And some people have that gift from God, that their words are encouraging, their words are hopeful. And so when they come and they speak, and I'm going to tell you, there are people in the world, they want to hear a word of hope. I go usually 2 or 3 days a week. I stop down by the homeless shelter. They know me. And walk in the door and just start asking them about, you know, how are you doing? Everything okay? How are you feeling? And as I mentioned, the one lady that's gotten gloriously saved, and the Lord is working in her life, and we just praise God for that. I believe that there will be many more. But they just need to hear a word in season. I mean, they have heard what the world offers, and the world What the world has to offer is hopelessness. And they've come to realize that. And so now you can come and you can, your speech can be with grace, or your words can be like a gift to them, seasoned with salt. Amen. It's interesting because food, when you put just a little bit of salt in food, then it enhances the taste. It enhances the quality of the food. It's no longer, you know, unappetizing or dull, but your speech needs to be like a gift to them. Not something that's dull and tasteless, but it needs to be a gift from God, because God is using you to touch their life. Amen. Season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I'm amazed at this prayer request of the Apostle Paul. Amen. God, give us the same kind of an unselfish spirit as he had, to be willing to pray that kind of a prayer. Instead of, Lord, get me out of my mess, get me out of my problem, deliver me from this situation, instead of that, praying a prayer that says something like this: Lord, in this circumstance that I'm in, would you open up a door? Would you give me a ministry in this messy situation that I'm in? Would you open a door? Lord, would you give me the opportunity to share the mystery of Christ, or the things that Jesus has done in your life, the mysterious, wonderful things that he has done? Would you give me that open door? Give me words, Lord, so that I can speak a clear word to them. Let me walk before them in such a way as you would give me the wisdom to know how to live it before them. Help me to redeem the time. Take the opportunity. Not say next week or next month, but understand that right now in the situation that you're in, God has given to you opportunities. Praise God. What a wonderful, selfless prayer request. Amen. Praise God. So as people who pray, yes, pray for your needs. Pray for physical needs. Pray for financial needs. Pray for your family. Pray for the unsaved. But also allow the Lord to broaden your horizons in prayer, and ask the Lord to give to you a burden and a desire that is beyond yourself, beyond your needs, and open up the doors for you. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that you've put people in our life. Lord, when we were just young person who spoke to us, who influenced us, who walked wisely before us, and Lord, they made such a difference in our life. It caused us, Lord, to have a desire and a hunger to know you. I just pray, Lord, that right here among this group, right in this congregation, even though we don't feel like that we're necessarily called evangelists, we know that you have truly called us all. You've called us, and you can equip us if we desire it. We just need to ask you, Lord, in sincere and fervent prayer, God, would you open up a door? Give me opportunities. Help me to seize them and to walk through the doors and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do the work, Lord, that your word, Lord, would impact all of our hearts and we would leave different. And thank you for that in Jesus' name.